time now for the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the Manitoba Crop Report is out. We'll speak with oilseed specialist Dane Fraze on how seeding is still progressing in our neighboring province. Southeastern Saskatchewan received more rain Monday night. We'll hear from their crops extension specialist in Weyburn, Sherry Roberts, and she'll tell us about how crops are looking in that region. Canada's farm show last week in Regina realized over $176 million in international investment and sales. We'll hear from the Vice President of Agriculture for the Regina Exhibition Association, Kirk Westgaard. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's shaping up to be a pretty nice day here in the Yorkton area today.
Yeah, there are a couple of showers and thunderstorms around. Nothing immediately threatening us, but plenty of showers stretched across central and southeastern Manitoba. A few scraping across along the border, mainly south of the Trans-Canada. And some of that activity from Manitoba is actually reaching into some of our northern areas. But the precipitation overall for at least the Yorkton area does not look to be an immediately threatening feature. We'll be watching, though, through the afternoon for some of this stuff to continue to flare up. So the chance is there, mainly late day. We'll talk late afternoon, early evening being our best chance for these showers. The whole system that's driving them is an area of low pressure, which is sitting off to the west. It looks like almost at this point just west of Regina, maybe almost overhead. As it moves eastward, it'll clear across the province by middle evening, and that will take the shower threat with it. So our best chance, as I mentioned, is through the evening. Best chance into southwestern Manitoba will be into the early nighttime. Either way, by morning, these showers should be gone, and tomorrow is a mostly sunny day. But in the wake of this system, it is going to be a little bit breezy. The wind's not too strong today. They're generally averaging around 20. Will likely be closer to 30 with some higher gusts, especially during the middle part of the afternoon tomorrow, and then things will settle down from there. Overall, the pattern for the next few days, so once we get past today, which again looks fine for most areas now, but is a bit unsettled today, we'll be into a pretty good stretch into next week. Temperatures this afternoon getting through the 20s will warm between 25 and 27, and really the main determining factor if any given spot gets to 24, 25, or 27 is going to be the buildup of cloud cover. Those of us that stay away from the building cloud will likely get a few degrees warmer. One of those almost simple formulas today for a change. Southwest wind 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated showers. Wind goes into the northwest behind that front, and drier air comes in. The dew points this afternoon, they're not high. They're running in the low teens. We get back to single number dew points, though, through the day tomorrow. 11 the low tonight, 22 is the high tomorrow with that gusty breeze. Clear sky tomorrow night with the drier air, though. We have a chance to cool. We fall to 8. Mostly sunny on Friday, 19 is the high. Best chance for any showers in the next system is during the night. There may be a few that linger on Saturday. Could even be a measurable shower in the very early part of the day. But overall, Saturday we clear out nicely, 19. Sunday, closing out the weekend, 22. So a pretty good stretch overall heading into the holiday weekend.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at 17 degrees. Swan River 15, Dauphin, Show Lake Russell 19, Brandon Roblin 21. Regina is at 27 degrees, Saskatoon 21, Hudson Bay 17, Broadview Mooseman 22, Indian Head 23, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 24. The Yorkton Melville region has a partly sunny sky, a south wind at 23, gusting to 35 kilometers an hour. 64% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 22 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 20 degrees and dropped to a low of 10 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 23. The normal low is 11. The sun rose in Yorkton at 4:37 this morning, and it will set at 9:09 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was a tie between Emerson and Grand Rapids. They both got up to 22 degrees. The cold spot was Thompson at plus 2 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Ville-Marie at 28 degrees. The cold spot was Key Lake at plus 1 degree. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. A number of fields in southwest Manitoba were seeded after the June 20th crop insurance deadline, leading to a small increase in planted acres. Manitoba agriculture oilseed specialist Dane Fraze says 93% of the spring crop has now been seeded.
We had another 2% bump to seeding progress in Manitoba post our June 20th general crop seeding deadline. Most of that occurred in the southwest region. Farmers filling in potholes, low areas that were missed, or just seeding crop where they were able to access the field for the first time. Most of those crops in that southwest region would have gone into wheat, barley, or canola. But as you move further into the northwest or interlake regions, those crop choices weren't as popular, and we were looking at more of a green feed or a cover crop option to supplement livestock.
Was there some severe weather in western Manitoba over the past week?
There certainly was. Strong winds, driving rains, and some severe hail. Up to baseball-sized hail in the Birtle to Russell area did destroy some crops there. Some crops are looking like they may recover, but it will certainly add an additional delay to overall harvest maturity.
So is there still a lot of saturated soil in western Manitoba?
As far as I know, yes. I haven't been in that particular region myself in the last little bit, but it is certainly wet. We've had an abundance of moisture. We have fields that are still quite wet or saturated. So field operations, spraying in particular, is time-consuming, trying to find a dry field that's in the correct stage. So as sprayers do access fields, we are seeing fairly significant rutting and damaging that soil surface. But farmers have no other choice but to try and get on there while they can.
What are producers spraying for right now?
A little of everything right now is being sprayed, primarily focused on weed control in some of our crops, particularly as we move into canola. Most of the spring wheat and soybeans have already been done, as has the flax and peas, but now canola is becoming the main focus. But insecticide applications are ongoing as well. A little bit for cutworm, mostly for flea beetle. Flea beetles have been devastating across huge swaths of Manitoba this year. We're seeing just the vast numbers of flea beetles overwhelm canola seed treatments, necessitating single or multiple applications of in-crop insecticide. And occasionally some fields are having to be sprayed for young grasshoppers. We know we had a bad grasshopper year last year, and those fields that had high egg-laying populations are certainly seeing a high number of nymphs, and they can do damage fairly quickly.
Have you heard of any herbicide shortages?
We know that herbicide shortages are ongoing, particularly for glufosinate, which is Liberty brand herbicide. We know that there have been some supply issues. There have been issues with it getting to the retails in time, as well as manufacturing disruptions. So that certainly is impacting weed management in our canola crops. The vast majority of canola in Manitoba is a Liberty-tolerant canola. So that is the go-to herbicide of choice, and one of the only herbicides, in fact. So when that product isn't available or isn't available in sufficient quantity, farmers are really having to stage their crops correctly, make sure that they are timing it for the maximum efficacy for that single application at the single rate that they can go into the field and do the best they can.
Have there been any reports of nitrogen fertilizer loss?
We know that fertilizer can leach and denitrify under warm and wet conditions. With the amount of rain we've had, we've certainly seen leaching losses or nitrogen moving deeper into the soil profile. If roots are able to reach down that far later in the season, they will be able to extract a good portion of it. But that does leave some temporary induced nitrogen deficiencies at the surface. We are seeing some flashing from cereal crops, from corn crops, where some top dressing might be ongoing. We know that urea prices have corrected significantly from the spring highs, and making it a little bit more affordable to purchase right now. So farmers are looking at it, doing some tissue tests and perhaps top dressing if their fields are in a deficit situation.
Is crop development behind normal in western Manitoba?
Oh, certainly about a month behind normal from the late seeding and the wet conditions. However, towards the southern part of the southwest region, towards the U.S. border, it has been generally a little bit drier than it has been further north. So we do see crop progress a little bit more advanced there. Crops looking a little bit better, a little less stagey and less drowned out, but they're certainly are exceptions. And as you move further north, crops just tend to get a little bit smaller, but it's still coming along relatively well as long as we can escape some of those severe rains and hail events.
So there's still a lot of unseeded acres in Manitoba?
Certainly. Right now, we're seeing just a little under 700,000 acres left unseeded as an estimate in Manitoba. That official number will come out once crop insurance has their data together. But we know that farmers are trying to seed as much as they can, as long as they can. However, we are running up to the July long weekend, and we are well past some crop insurance coverage dates for annual crop, but we do know that the green feed insurance coverage date goes until July 15th. Now, it may be a problem for some producers to be able to seed before that window, given how saturated and waterlogged the fields are, particularly on the eastern side of Riding Mountain National Park. But producers will do what they can as long as they can.
Dane Fraze is an oilseed specialist with Manitoba Agriculture.
GX94, AgriView.
BASF says it expects to know more within a couple weeks on why certain Invigor canola hybrids in Western Canada have appeared to stall in their development after emerging from the ground. The company issued a statement late last week acknowledging it was aware of a performance issue with some Invigor varieties. In most of the affected fields, the rate of crop emergence has not been the main problem. It's been more the establishment. The cotyledons come out, the first and second leaves come out, and then the plants are not going on to the next phase like they normally would expect it to be. BASF has established a dedicated team to collect data on what the affected fields may have in common. More investment is on the way for short-line railroads through the Government of Saskatchewan's Short-Line Railway Improvement Program. The grants of $530,000 will assist with track upgrades and expansion, improved crossing surfaces and sight lines, bridge maintenance, track rehabilitations, and more. Funding will be allocated based on the amount of track each railway owns, with small track networks to receive at least $25,000. Grants will be provided to all 13 short lines, with the province providing up to 50% of eligible project costs. There are 13 provincially regulated short line railways in Saskatchewan that operate on 2,122 kilometers of track, primarily transporting grain. Following variable conditions over the first few weeks of the growing season, there has now been a market improvement over the last. That's according to Carl Potts, the executive director of the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers. Potts says while western parts of the province had little precipitation and eastern parts saw seeding delayed due to above normal rainfall, conditions have since become ideal in most areas. Potts anticipates a rise in seeded lentil acres this year, along with a decline in seeded dry pea acres. Statistics Canada predicted in its March 2022 principal field crops report an increase of more than 200,000 lentil acres in Saskatchewan to 4 million, while dry pea acres in the province would decline by more than 200,000 to 1.8 million. Despite both crops having higher prices than last year, according to Prairie Ag Hotwire, the potential for higher production this year has led to price declines over the past month. The most popular variety of mustard seed in Canada is seeing a recent downturn in price. While the prices of mustard in Western Canada are still much higher than last year, they have been steady to lower over the past month. According to Prairie Ag Hotwire, the high delivered bid for yellow mustard is at $1.50 Canadian per pound, a decline of 41 cents from 1 month ago, but still a full dollar higher than last year. The high delivered bid for brown mustard has been steady at $2.01 Canadian per pound from a month ago, but $1.58 higher than at this point in 2021. Oriental mustard lost 1 cent this month, but gained 64 cents from the year before at $1 Canadian per pound. Cereals Canada has released its 2021 annual report, providing an overview of how the organization worked to support the Canadian cereals value chain and made progress on its key objectives despite industry-wide challenges. The report highlights the organization's successes and milestones from the past year and provides a glimpse into the impact of the Canadian cereals industry, which supports the work of over 52,000 Canadian farms and returns $9.9 billion in export revenue to the Canadian economy. Cereals Canada focuses on four strategic areas: market access and advocacy, market support and development, growing Canadian demand, and market and technical research. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return.
Honey, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Honey, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. We better call Trustmark.
Trustmark Insurance in Melville will help you be ready for whatever life throws your way. When insuring your life and livelihood, trust Trustmark Insurance with what matters most.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's partly cloudy and 22 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Southeastern Saskatchewan received more rain Monday night. The crops extension specialist in Weyburn, Sherry Roberts, tells us how crops are looking in that region.
Well, surprisingly, fairly well. You know, we've got our water-soaked areas that are struggling. But all in all, what we really need is some heat now to go along with all this moisture. The cereals are really taking off. We've got some fields of canola that are in flower. I know down in the Radville area last week, I noticed fields of chickpeas that were starting to flower. And also we have fields of peas out here that are starting to flower. So things are taking off, but we need some heat and a stop to the rain now for a little while.
How is Weyburn coping with last week's heavy rain?
Well, we did have some rain in basements. I heard a lot of flooding there. There is some fields north of Weyburn. There's standing water. There's a couple fields that they were lower fields to begin with, but they're actually look like small lakes in the middle of them now. So there's going to be some acreage loss due to this rain here. It's helping in one way, and that is there's grasshoppers starting to show up. And the more rain we can get, the better that's going to be for keeping them under control. But right now, we could actually have the spigots shut off for a couple weeks and give us some heat, and things would really, really go.
How about hail damage?
I heard that there was some down in the Windthorst area. I have not heard of a whole lot of damage. I'm sure there was some, but the thing that we're dealing with down here in the southeast is there's such a level. There's some crops that are just now coming out of the ground, whereas, like I said, there's some that are already flowering. So hopefully in the areas where that hail hit, you know, things were able and advanced enough to be able to take off and able to recover. And that's what I'm hoping happens. I haven't really heard any severe damage at this point, but I imagine there's a few fields that probably were hurt and they are going to have to make some options. But of course, you want to give a little bit of time, you know, at least a week to see if those growing points come back, because oftentimes you feel that you may have a total wipeout in a field. And in reality, no, those plants have a really good recuperative ability and you just got to maybe go fishing for a few days.
Have flea beetles been an issue in southeastern Saskatchewan?
They have been for certain areas and certain fields. Right now, the canola seems to have gotten ahead of them, but I do know there were some farmers that were out spraying for them. There has also been farmers out spraying for the grasshoppers. So it's totally, once again, area specific. And some guys, you know, their seed treatments held really well, and other ones they had some issues with them. So it's once again going to be an area issue, and farmers are just going to have to be very, very diligent about getting out and scouting for issues, because there are a lot of issues starting to show up now because of all this rain and moisture and humidity.
So which crops are doing better with this recent weather?
that's really kind of a double-edged sword, because the peas like the cooler weather, but yet they're not real fans of all the rain and the moisture. The cereals, you know, also like the cooler weather, but the moisture is starting, we're sort of starting to see a lot of cereal leaf diseases springing up. I'm noticing a lot of leaf diseases also starting in brome grass along the road ditches and things. So if guys are getting ready to start haying their brome grass fields, they better keep an eye out for them, because some of those diseases can have an impact on your cattle. So take a look, do some scouting, see what you got. And if you're in a doubt, you know, please send samples into our crop protection lab and so you can get an accurate analysis. The canola, at this point, the stress of all the rain, we've got some bolting and starting to flower, so I don't know how that's, you know, going to come out in the end. It'll be interesting to see. But, you know, all in all, you drive around, you see some really, really nice-looking fields, and I think that at this point we have a lot of optimism out there. Some struggles, of course, just because this rain won't seem to let up, but we are coming into July now, and we all know notoriously that July and August are the hot, drier months for Saskatchewan, so we can hope that we've got enough reserve in the bank here now with these rains that we've had, that these plants could really take off and go in these next few weeks here.
Sherry Roberts is the Crops Extension Specialist in Weyburn. It's time now for the Livestock Market Conditions.
Livestock Market Conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for August closed at 132.17 today. That's down 55. October live cattle closed at 138.90, down 50. August feeder cattle closed at 170.72, down 110. September feeder cattle closed at 173.77, down 117. August lean hogs closed at 103.57, down 25. October lean hogs closed at 90.72, up 52. And that's the livestock market conditions. Canada's farm show last week in Regina realized over $176 million in international investment and sales. The Vice President of Agriculture for the Regina Exhibition Association, Kirk Westgaard, says the three-day show had $76 million in international sales and $100 million in the agri-value chain.
All I can say is that in overall sales, the Canada's Farm Show was a huge success. I think we saw a lot of international buyers come in, you know, with what's going on in the world and coming off COVID. We are really happy with the international group that came in.
How big was the number?
For the international sales, we saw $76 million in international sales. And these are the buyers that actually let us know about the purchases they made at Canada's Farm Show. We know there's more purchases to come, and over the next couple of months, we'll see that number continue to increase. As long as with one of the international buyers came in and talked about doing an investment here in Canada for $100 million. So, you know, seeing that type of money added to Saskatchewan's agri-value food chain production is a really positive step.
What was the attendance like?
Attendance was on par for 2019. So what we saw is that moving indoors, all exhibitors were very happy not having to fight the wind and the rain and the extreme heat that Saskatchewan can sometimes have. So everyone was happy, right on par with where we were 3 years ago. So we couldn't be more excited to see what next year brings.
Did you have about 30,000 people for the three-day show?
It was a little under that, but yeah, it was what we were expecting. We're very happy with attendance. And more importantly, our exhibitors were happy with what they saw coming through the doors and stopping at their booth.
Now, you had 300 delegates from 50 countries. What are you hoping for next year?
We'd like to see the delegates go up. Of course, you know, this is mostly looked at through what's going on in the global markets coming off COVID and the war between Russia and Ukraine, or the invasion of Ukraine. We saw our international delegates go down. We would like to see that go back up to where they were previously, and we have no doubt that it will.
What's your impression of the show being all indoors this year?
I think it was a huge success. And this isn't just from me. There's a lot of exhibitors we talked to thought it was a fantastic show. They liked being indoors. They liked not having to battle the weather. And more importantly, the people that came and stopped at their booths, they were happy with, and they were very excited and ready for next year already.
Were there a lot of sales at the show?
That's what we've been told. All the exhibitors were very happy with what's going on, and I don't have any more information on that.
So the show saw $76 million in international sales and $100 million in the agri value chain.
Yeah, those two numbers are fantastic. To see what's going on, to come out to Canada's Farm Show and see those type of numbers, I think it just goes to prove that everyone likes to be face-to-face, everyone likes the new format, and we're just going to build on it, make it better going forward.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, we were excited for the city, for the province, and Canada's Farm Show. You know, all in all, it was just a great, fantastic show.
Kirk Westgaard is the Vice President of Agriculture for the Regina Exhibition Association. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 60 seconds' time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Vera Grain of Saskatoon was one of the three winners in the Innovation Awards at this year's Canada's Farm Show. CEO and co-founder Ken Jackson says Vera Grain is a grain inventory sampling system helping farmers to track grain quality and quantity.
We're quite proud of that. So I guess the reason we got the award was we're doing something that's rather unique in that we're looking at the agriculture sector from a kind of a post-harvest perspective. And, you know, historically there's been so much focus on growing more. But a few years ago, MMP did some research that suggested that your average grower doesn't know within 10% what they actually have stored, and even less about the quality of that. So, of course, knowing the quality of what you have can really make a big difference. I mean, we're talking tens, if not hundreds of dollars, a difference an acre in terms of the return that you get. So that's where we're focusing, and it starts off, you know, from a fairly simple perspective that if you have to have a good an accurate representative sample so that when you get the sample analyzed that you actually have some meaningful information to act upon or to sell your grain with. So we focused on and developed a system which starts up with simplifying the sampling process to make sure that it gets done, A, and B, that it is representative so that those samples can be analyzed accurately and you know, there's some trust as to what those results are. And ultimately, it gives the grower the information they need to go find optimal markets and, you know, get that optimal pricing. But the buyers love it too because, historically, they've not trusted the samples they've gotten and they hedge their risk by not maybe paying as much as they, you know, could be. So it's a real win-win for both growers and buyers, creating a much more transparent sort of information relationship and where there's a greater trust. And then ultimately, traceability, which is becoming more and more of an issue, the traceability aspect of the product is becoming more and more significant. So that's a quick cap on what we do.
Now, what is VeraGrain and how much does it cost?
Yeah, so it consists of several components. I mean, at its very sort of minimum, there's a phone app, which is a $295 a year subscription. If the grower buys it directly, several of the grain buyers are actually starting to offer the product at no charge to buyer or to growers, which is really where the path to market that we prefer. And so the other aspect of it is there's, you know, barcoded sample containers and barcoded bags that need to be purchased. Again, we're talking sort of hundreds of dollars a year here. I mean, if you break it down, you know, it would cost, you know, kind of $5 or $6 a bushel to grow the grain, and it costs less than a nickel a bushel to understand what the quality of that grain actually is, and with a return that could be, you know, in the order of another buck or two a bushel. So the overall cost for example, a 5 to maybe 10,000 acre farm would be $2,500 to $3,000 a year. And that includes getting independent analysis from a grain lab. So not just trusting that you know your grain buyer will give you a proper analysis. And not that they don't, but everybody has had the experience where they take their grain to several grain buyers and they get a slightly different result from each one. And there's a reason for that, and that is because the sample isn't prepared properly or taken properly. And so it's not that they're trying to scam you. It's that the sample, in fact, is not representative or identical for every buyer. So that's a fairly significant factor as well.
And what kind of response did you get at Canada's Farm Show?
It's great. It's an aspect of farming, and I kind of joke that there's a reason that farmers are referred to as growers, because that's historically where they focused, and they don't, and as opposed to being called marketers, which is really that's the information we're giving them. So I do appreciate having come off. I came off a large seed farm, and you put all the effort into growing and harvesting, and the harvest is over, and it's kind of like, well, gee, can I have a break here? But now this is where you really, the difference is literally $100 to $200 an acre, from getting a commodity-based price to a premium. Because this year, for example, if you've got a falling number over 300, you've got gold. But you have to know that, and to be able to know that and determine that, you've got to have representatives.
Ken Jackson is the CEO of Verigrain of Saskatoon, an award-winning innovation at Canada's Farm Show in Regina.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. November canola closed at $8.92.10, up $1.50. January canola closed at $8.99.30, up $2 per metric ton. September Minneapolis wheat is still trading. It's at 10.28 and 3 quarters, down 12 cents. September Kansas City wheat closed at 9.91 and a quarter, up 1 cent. September Chicago wheat closed at 9.30 per bushel, down 6 cents. September corn closed at 6.64 per bushel, down 5 and 3 quarters of a cent. August soybeans closed at 15.71 and a half. That's up 15 cents. September oats closed at 5.15 and a half. That's up 6 cents. And that's the commodities update.
Farm Bulletin Board.
A farm in the Vanscoy area, southwest of Saskatoon, has several revenue streams, including crops, livestock, part ownership in a Saskatoon restaurant, and operating a summer day camp for elementary school students. Arlie LaRoche is the owner-operator of Farm 140, and she recently spoke about the farm and its various ventures.
So we're a pretty small farm by Saskatchewan standards. We just have like about 25 cow-calf pairs, but we finish our cattle here, so we always have a couple years worth of calves on the ground. And then we have about 40 breeding ewes, which translates to about 70, 80 lambs in a season. And then we usually have somewhere between 15 to 40 pigs on the go at any given time. And then we just have some, my kids, honestly, it's their hobby laying flock of chickens.
Are your chickens and pigs free-range animals?
Yeah, the pigs have a big 6-acre paddock that we rotate them through, because pigs are rototillers, so we have to move them so that they don't totally destroy the soil. But they have a big space, and then the chickens are always outside as well.
Do you manage all of the animals?
Yeah, I do most of the day-to-day operations of the animals. There's somebody that manages the garden here. Her name is Julie Maxwell, and she does the big garden. And someone else takes care of the honeybees. And he used to have honeybees in the city, so he takes care of them. And then we have business partners that run the restaurant. So my role in the restaurant is to just supply them with the product.
Where do you get the feed for your animals?
So our cows and sheep are 100% grass-fed and finished. So they're eating pasture in the summer. And then we do have a bit of land out by Waka, by my in-laws' place. And that's where we put up our hay. So we just transport our hay from that farm here for the winter. And then at that same farm near Waka, my husband grows a little bit of cereal crops. So that's where we grow the grain for the pigs and chickens.
Arlie LaRoche is the owner-operator of Farm 140 near Vanscoy. They will be running three camps this summer for kids between the ages of 7 and 10. The dates are July 11th through the 14th, July 18th through the 20th, and August 8th through the 11th. They are day camps. Also on today's Farm Bulletin Board, the Yorkton Farmers Market is coming up again tomorrow. It'll run from 9:30 until 1:30 at the Parkland Mall. For more information, you can go to yorktonfarmersmarket.ca or visit them on Facebook at Yorkton Farmers Market. Don't forget, the Farmers Market is every Thursday until mid-December. Ag in Motion is back in the fields in 2022 with an in-person experience for visitors to get up close to new products, technology, and equipment during the first in-person event since 2019. Ag in Motion in Western Canada is largest outdoor farm expo with over 500 exhibitors and 100 acres to explore. Ag in Motion is back with five main fan favorite features. There are equipment demonstrations, crop plots, BMO Livestock Central, a speaker series, as well as special events. Ag in Motion will take place July 19th through the 21st at the Discovery Farm Langham site, located just 15 minutes northwest of Saskatoon. Tickets to the show and more detailed overview of what's happening at Ag in Motion can be found at aginmotion.ca. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check out the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, partly sunny with a 40% chance of scattered showers or thunderstorms, winds southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 26. For tonight, cloudy with a 30% chance of isolated showers, winds northwest at 15 to 25, and a low of 11. For tomorrow, sunny, winds northwest at 15 to 30 and gusting higher at times, a high of 25. For Canada Day, Friday, sunny skies, winds north-northwest at 15 to 25 and a high of 19. For Saturday, sunny, a high of 19. Sunday, sunny, and a high of 22. In the Paw, it's 17 degrees. Swan River is at 15. Dauphin and Shoal Lake Russell, 19. Brandon and Roblin, 21. Regina is reporting in at 27 degrees. Saskatoon, 21. Hudson Bay, 17. Broadview, Mooseman, 22. Indian Head, 23. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 24. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly cloudy sky, a south wind at 23, gusting to 35 kilometers an hour. 64% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 22 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program.
You've been listening to the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.